If you hear that music, that means someone died, unfortunately. But it is our job to eulogize these human beings that die, especially when they're large figures in the world of rock and or roll or music. And we have one today. First off, though, before Danny takes us over, we were wondering who caught the Ty Walker period ticker.
Yeah, he just told me.
It was Matt Birmingham.
Of course.
It was the ham who found it. So
he's a little,
look at that.
He's a little devil in waiting.
He really is, dude.
I mean, Mino is 100% the most evil devil we've ever known.
Yeah.
Worse than Expo. Worse than Groobs.
Yeah.
You ever watch The Deer Hunter? But Birmingham is... He's an apt apprentice.
I love all the movie Danny stuff that we have now because
things I have or haven't seen.
He's never saw Avatar.
I never saw Grease.
I do think I want to see Godzilla though.
You ever watch The Deer Hunter?
So love it, Batman.
The Godzilla one is just like I've got the flu. I'm in bed and somebody just stuck a mic in my face.
I do think I want to see Godzilla, though.
Oh, okay, well,
like,
here.
Poor sick Danny.
Take your Tamiflu first and drink this water.
So we lost a large one.
Boy, did we ever.
And I think we're getting ready to do a big introduction as well for Bob. Because I'm not sure, Bob, you realize how significant this fella is. And we are speaking of the great Bill Withers.
Tunes.
Yeah. Okay.
You're aware, right?
Of course.
I think most people are on this one.
This is a great song.
Man, he was hard-pressed. You'd be hard-pressed to find a tune that he wrote that wasn't.
Sometimes in our lives.
We just found out today that the great William Harrison Withers Jr., otherwise known as Bill Withers, passed away at the age of 81 years old, but he actually died on March 30th. And apparently his family is pretty devastated by this.
Now, this was not COVID-related,
no,
was it?
No, 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 no. This was, he had a heart condition, and he died of that. But what a life this guy had. He was the youngest of six kids. He was born in this really small coal miner's town called Slab Fork, West Virginia, on July 4th, 1938. There's a fantastic documentary that was released in, I believe, 2009 called Still Bill. And I don't know if you can watch it for free, but it is available to rent or purchase, I think, on Amazon, which I did a couple years ago. And I've seen it twice, and it's just fantastic. And there's something about Bill Withers, I like to refer to him as the Roger Staubach of soul music.
Really?
Yes. He was a good dude. A very, very good dude. He graduated high school and immediately went into the Navy in 1965. He left the Navy in 1965, but he served in the Navy for 9 years. And yep. That's when he got interested in writing and singing songs.
Okay, I read at some point that he was a mechanic on those big fighter jets.
Well, what happened was, is after he left the Navy in 1965, he moved to L.A. and he was trying to start a music career, okay? So he got a job working as an airplane assembler. And he worked for several different companies, including Douglas Aircraft. And during that whole time, he was writing songs and making demo tapes, either at home or in, you know, like a cheaper recording studio, used all of his own money to produce these tapes. And he started shopping them around. He was performing in clubs at night. And he debuted with a single called Ain't No Sunshine, which I'm
that
sure everybody...
That was his first song?
Yeah.
All right, play this
Ain't
one for
no
Bob.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
He debuted definitely with this tune...
Wow.
And
it's not warm when she's away.
This was destined to be a massive hit, but he was so jaded
no
by the music business. And the thing
and
that he ended up just keeping his job working on airplanes, building aircrafts. And When this came out, he was so concerned about the fickle nature of the music industry that he's like, man, I ain't quitting my job. I'm not leaving work until this really proves that I can truly, truly make a bona fide living writing songs and performing.
And the other thing about, and at the time, this was a huge anomaly. He started his career in his 30s. That was unheard of.
Yeah. Well, he started, late 20s is when he started really pursuing it hardcore. That's when I kind of equate him to Roger, because Roger kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't start his NFL career until he was, 26? Is that correct?
Yeah, maybe even a little older.
I think he was 27.
Okay, probably about the same for Bill. He was 9 years in the Navy.
Can you back up to the I know part?
I can.
This always... Okay, listen up here. So when I was a little kid and this song would pop on in the car, my parents were listening to the radio, I became so obsessed with the I know part, and I tried to emulate it, but you couldn't hold your breath long enough to make it happen.
Yeah.
So every time it was like, I know. And you hear him at the end of that losing his breath.
There's a legend about why that happened, and I don't know if it's true, and it may just be one of those things that legends are made of, a story that's told and as a rumor, and then it becomes fact, but it's not really fact. But I heard that this is all probably recorded live with a band in studio with him in the room and no overdubs. And I heard that he gets to that part, and it was only supposed to be a determined number of I know, and then goes into the next line, but he forgot what the next line was supposed to be. So he just kept going, I know, and the drummer's like kind of watching him, just keeping the beat going, and then he goes, need to leave young thing alone, ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Like, remembers the line right there, and then the band kicks right back in when he resumes. Because it's not like timed out to be, a certain musical, number of measures. It's very weird in the timing of it. Now, when he started shopping his demos, he got auditioned pretty favorably by a guy named Clarence Avant. He owned this record company called Sussex Records. He signed Bill Withers to a record deal, and he assigned former Stax record stalwart Booker T. Jones to produce his first album.
Of the MGs?
Of the MGs. And when Bill showed up in the recording studio, I had 3 days booked, and he showed up with his tunes, and he walked in. He thought he was going in as a writer. He figured, I got this deal, they want me as a writer. He walked in and said, hey, Booker T., nice to meet you, I'm Bill Withers. So who's going to be singing these songs of mine? And Booker T. goes, you are, man, you are. And that was it.
Wow.
And his first two albums did so great.
What's this one called?
This is
Lovely
The Lovely Day.
Day.
Yeah, this was a huge, huge hit for him. But, he had Use Me, Grandma's Hands later on in his career, like in the 80s. What was the big hit that he had in the 80s? Just the Two of Us. Yes. That was a huge hit for him. And he basically kind of got out of the game sometime in the...
85 was his last
record. Yeah, he went... His recording career, his active career was 63 through 85. But the documentary Still Bill that came out in 09 is so great, and it follows him now. It has him going back to his hometown out in West Virginia, Slab Fork, and it's him walking around the neighborhood and showing how poor he was and... old neighborhood haunts and him running into old friends that he knew back in the day that are still living there. It shows him working with his daughter on some demos that she's working on. And he just seems like a really good dude, a really good family man, really supportive, and just a real sweet, caring, tender soul. And if you remember a few years back, I believe it was a USC's football team, and he came in and gave them a speech, and they didn't know who he was. They're like, who's this old black guy coming in here? And then he sat down and started playing Lean On Me, and they're like, oh my God, the Lean On Me guy. But he was, that was kind of who he was. Very unassuming. Probably never really looked super comfortable as a front man. He did this record live at Carnegie Hall, And it's wonderful. The only thing I don't like about it is in post-production, they went in and added a bunch of a big bunch of string arrangements that are unnecessary because his live band cooked. I mean, these guys were cats that could flat out play. Super appropriate, super minimalist. But that record's great because in between the songs, he really is good at connecting. He's very transparent. He's very open. He's not trying to be cool. You know what I'm saying? He's not trying to like flex or pimp himself. He's very humble. He talks about, you know, struggles, about how I'm loving his grandma and how he misses her, and leads into songs. And he does a great job of just setting up his material in this on this live album. But man, Bill Withers contributed, and we lost a massive voice in American music history today, or on the 30th. We just found out about it today.
Okay, a couple things.
Yeah,
here,
man.
One, what's the name of the documentary again?
Still Bill.
Still Bill.
Yep. Okay. I believe which was the name of his second album. Kill his first Bill. Album was called Just As I Am.
Kill Bill.
And the photo of him on his first album is him like showing up at work at his airplane building job, and it's him just standing next to a brick wall holding his lunchbox for the day.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, that's wild. Him arriving at his job, and they just snapped the shot and put it on the front of the album.
Dang. Okay, so confession. I don't think I'd ever heard of this guy till right now.
Yeah.
You know the music, though.
Yes, I know the music. I feel like I know between 3 and 5 of his songs, and I count them all to be classics that just have...
Play just the two of us.
Worked their way into my ears, you know, but I don't know that I've heard his name. Maybe I have. I don't know, but I really like segments like this, honestly, and I was a little intimidated because this whole show that I'm new to, all you guys know music really, really well, and Mike knew it probably as well as anybody, and like the Kenny Rogers and the Bill Withers stuff, it's very 101 probably for me, but... It's very, very helpful because it's obviously everyone loves music, but I feel like I have almost no knowledge of music that I wasn't into. And so I love this stuff, but I didn't know anything about him until just now when I found out I did know his stuff.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah, this is a good history lesson for sure. I love the beginning
of
this song.
Yeah. So good. This is when he teamed up with Grover Washington Jr.
As a producer?
Playing on it. Playing, okay. I think, tenor sax. Or maybe this was a Grover Washington song that featured Bill Withers. Or maybe they got equal billing. I'm not sure, but Grover was massive on this.
I see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through.
That voice is so great.
Yeah.
To make those
I'm in the New York Times here, and it says Ain't No Sunshine won the Grammy for Best Rhythm and Blues Song. Lean On Me and Just the Two of Us,
a
collaboration with Grover Washington,
won
the same award.
He cleaned up as a rookie in the business. And I think he had such a great perspective on how to manage his career because he didn't get famous at 19 years old.
Yeah, he had some perspective.
Yeah, and he was in the Navy for 9 years. If that doesn't kind of whip your ass into shape and give you some sense of maturity and turn you into adult maybe a little faster than you would otherwise, and then your career essentially starts when you're 30.
Yeah.
He handled it the right way, I think.
So I'm reading the same thing you are, Bob, the New York Times obit. And
yeah.
It's got a funny story about him working at the airplane factory or the whatever. They're building airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts doing that, and then he went out one night to see Lou Rawls perform. And he says, I was making $3 an hour. That's the pay that he got at the airplane joint. And he says, I was looking for friendly women, but nobody found me interesting. Then Rawls walked in to the nightclub, and all these women were talking to him. He says, I bought a cheap guitar at a pawn shop, started learning to play it and writing songs, and then recorded a demo. Do you know how stereotypical that sounds and how this is so one in a trillion?
Yeah.
Where you're inspired by somebody in your 30s, basically?
Yeah, late 20s.
And you're this guy?
Sometimes the actual cream rises to the top, and I don't think this could... It'd be really rare for this to happen now of I went and bought a guitar and I started writing songs and I recorded a demo and I moved to LA and I shopped it at the labels and they loved it and I won a Grammy.
Yeah, and
it doesn't work that way.
Or then you walked in and you expected other people to be singing your songs. You expected all these, you know, R&B heroes to be in there or whatever, and you're like, okay, where are they? They're not here because you're singing them. And this is his voice?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles story in there?
No.
Okay, so he told this story on NPR back in 2015, but he was at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles in L.A., up on Pico, and he says these ladies looked like they had just come from church or something, and they were talking about this Bill Withers song. So I was going to have some fun with them because I was in the next booth. I turned around and I said, I'm Bill Withers. And this lady said, you ain't no Bill Withers. You're too light-skinned to be Bill Withers. They didn't believe it was him.
How did he prove it? Did he go on or no?
That's the story ends there. I'm kind of curious how it actually did end, but that's all he told NPR, I guess.
Do remember this, though. I remember watching. Have you guys seen the documentary When They Were Kings?
Yes. Okay, the photo of him and Muhammad Ali, and they're going to the Rumble in the Jungle.
Rumble in the Jungle. It's in Zaire. So he played the big concert the night before
in
Africa.
There's an iconic photo of them together. And I can't remember who the woman is, but they're sitting at a table in an airplane, and someone on the flight over there, and someone did a snapshot, and it's him, Muhammad Ali, and this other African-American chick that I cannot remember her name. But it's them three sitting there, and Bill Withers in jeans and no shirt.
Yeah. Because it was 150 degrees.
Well, they were on a plane, but still, that was, you know, it was the 70s.
Right.
That was one cool thing that I always liked about Bill. If you put him next to, I don't know, say, Sly and the Family Stone, he would look like their uncle, their straight uncle. He wasn't about the flash. He wasn't about, you know, being super cool looking. He was jeans and a t-shirt and maybe, you know, one of those newsboy hats or a toboggan, and that's it, man. He was just straight up real deal.
He said whenever he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that he wouldn't know a pop chart from a pop tart. Well, dude, yes, he mattered, and
I couldn't believe that when I woke up to that on my phone today.
The least we could do is spend a segment on the great Bill Withers.